Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no light. Welcome to the program God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. God and Country is an outreach ministry of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. On today's program, we have a special treat. Reverend Stephen Kraft of Christian Citizenship Ministries came to speak to our church last week, and in a moment, we will hear part of his message. But before we begin, I want us to think about the source of authority, or rather, the source of our moral and theological opinions. We believe that man is not the measure of all things, but that God has spoken to us through the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son. But here is the secular opinion that has taken over America. Religious morality is to have no place in society because human reason is to be the judge of all things. Mankind doesn't acknowledge God or God's law because in man's pride, he refuses to look to any authority outside of himself. He wants to assume that he is the judge, that he is alone in the universe. So the battle of the ages is human reason versus biblical revelation, or rather, is man God or is God God? Now, that's getting very philosophical, but the bottom line is that the Christians believe God has spoken through the biblical prophets. And that is why I love Reverend Kraft. Because in an age where evangelicals have forgotten the authority of the Bible, where evangelicals have resorted to human reason and techniques, where evangelicals have apologized for the Bible, there are still men like Reverend Kraft who appeal to the Word of God, who speak with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. Reverend Kraft came to know the Lord after a life of drugs, went on to Central Bible College in Missouri, and then went on to get his master's degree from Harvard. Yes, he went into the belly of the beast to defend the gospel before the Marxist atheists at Harvard. Reverend Kraft served as a prison chaplain, and he's a motivational speaker and author. At the end of this program, I will give you information on how you can have Brother Kraft come to speak to your assembly. So let's listen in on Sunday's message at Harbor Bible Church.
The title of this message is, We Had It, We Lost It, and Now It's Time to Get It Back. A little introduction. First of all, the church at Colossae, the city of Colossae, had an issue, a serious issue. Paul founded this church, but what Paul discovered, that in his absence, false teachers crept in unaware and began to practice syncretism. Syncretism is mixing falsehood with truth. If anybody ever wonders what's the difference between a lie and a deception, the difference, saints of God, is simply this. A lie is flat out false. A deception is gray, a mixture between black and white. Deceptions are worse than bold-faced lies, because at least a lie, we can easily discern something if we think about it that is totally untrue. But a deception always has a method or a somewhat of a mixture of truth in it. And that's what's happening in our great nation today. People do not come and just tell us flat-out lies for the most part. But what they do is they'll mix the truth with falsehood, and it's called the mushy middle, or moderation, or here's the new term, consensus. Let's find consensus. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, as Bible believers, God does not play the game of moderation and consensus. Last time I checked, the Lord said, thou shall not. This is right, this is wrong, and there's no middle ground where God and the enemy shakes hands and comes out friends. What God says is yea and amen. Not we'll sit down and have a dialogue. Not that we'll sit down in democratic America. For those of you that don't know, America is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. The very idea that this is a democracy is one example of a deception. What God says is yea and amen. Jesus literally says, even though this is the Reverend Crass version, my way or the highway. And it ain't about we going to sit and dialogue. We're going to take a little of what the devil wants and then take a little of what the Lord wants. And we're going to make a nice mushy middle, a syncretism. And then we're all going to be happy. That's not the way the thing rolls. God says, thou shalt, thou shalt not. Jesus said in the Gospels, in the Sermon on the Mount, that the way to everlasting life is straight and narrow, and only a few find it. Why? Because the way to hell is broad and wide, and many go down that road. People love the broad and wide road. You know why? Because it gives plenty of room to do whatever you want to do or to think whatever you want to think. But God says, no, the way to everlasting life, saints of God, is straight and narrow. And the reason only a few find it is because truth needs no support. Truth does not compromise with lies. What is true whether everybody believes it or whether nobody believes it. That's a fact. So the point I'm trying to get you to see, saints of God, is truth does not change based on consensus or what the majority thinks. And what Paul is saying here is, even though I'm not physically with you, don't let people deceive you with persuasion and persuasive words. That's the problem with American politics. Folks that tell you a lot of nonsense in campaigns and then do something totally different when they get elected. Because they were lying when they opened their mouth. The standard of truth is the word of God. And what Paul had to deal with in this city, in this church, was a mixture of Christianity, the gospel, mixed with pagan occultism, mixed with Jewish legalism. A mixture. And Paul says, I'm not with you physically, but I done got the report. I'm coming to you and straighten this mess out because you're being led to believe false doctrine. Now, what do we see? Point number one, we had it in verse 4 through verse 6. Now, this I say, Paul said, unless anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. People are deceived through persuasive words, ladies and gentlemen. He says, though I'm absent in the flesh, in other words, he wasn't physically with him, yet I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, because of time constraints, I'm only going to exegete just a few things because we're on a time frame here. First thing he says, though, don't let anybody deceive you with persuasion and smooth talk. That's the first point that he says. Then he says, I might not be with you physically here, but I'm rejoicing in the Holy Ghost in the spirit realm because I see something in you. I see your good order. In other words, you're doing everything decently and in order. He says, and I see your steadfastness. In other words, you're not moved by a popular opinion. You are, he says, rooted and grounded and built up in who? In him. Not in CNN, not in NBC, not in NPR, not in TBN. Not in liberalism, not in conservatism, not in right wing, not in left wing. You are built up in Christ. You are rooted, grounded, steadfast in him. Every building that you've ever been in is built on a foundation. The foundation of America was the Judeo-Christian ethic. That's why America was great. But we've lost that now. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Bible does not say, blessed is the nation whose God is Mohammed. The Bible doesn't say, blessed is the nation whose God is Hare Krishna. The Bible doesn't say, blessed is the nation whose God is secular humanism. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Look around you. Look at this world. Is it in a mess
What's the root cause of every evil in the world? God tells you in the Bible over and over, sin. We got to preach against sin. I'm going to preach on a bunch of prosperity and all this. Preach the problem. Then preach the solution to the problem. There'd be no sickness if it wasn't for sin. There'd be no poverty if it wasn't for sin. The original problem of the human race, church, is sin. So now the only other question that follows is, who's the savior from sin? Last time I checked, Buddha didn't say he was. Folks in Japan having their problems, they ain't crying out to Buddha to save them. Folks, when they folks are dying in the Middle East, they calling on Allah. Allah ain't answering. So we need a savior. So we got to find out now from sin, and we got to find out who is the savior. Jesus says, I am the Son of God. I am 100% man, born of a virgin, in order that I could put down my divinity, put it to the side, and get in the earth realm. For God is a spirit, and he needed a body, but he was a perfect man and perfect God. He had to be man to come down here and die, but he had to be God in order to have the power through his blood to take away our sins. That's the gospel. Verse 8, beware. Paul's warning them. Because the false doctrine got in there. Lest anyone cheat you through what? Philosophy and what? Empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Let's work that for a couple minutes. There are many deceptions. Paul's telling the church at Colossae that had to deal with paganism and occultism and legalism. He's telling them, beware. Now let's transpose that to our country. So what are some of the false teachings today, some of the false philosophies and traditions of men? I don't have time to go through all of them. I'm going to go through a few. Religious pluralism, that's a big one. We've already touched on that, that all religions lead to God. Just the terminology, the semantics are different. No, I'll give you just one example. The difference between Islam and the gospel. The gospel says Jesus is the only way. The gospel says that Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. The gospel says that Jesus is the savior of the world, that he came once and he's coming again. Islam denies that. Islam says Jesus, Isa in Arabic, was one of the line of good prophets, but he's not God. Islam says Jesus didn't die on the cross. They was mistaken in Jerusalem. Somebody else died who they thought was Jesus. They say that Muslims are going to rule the world. That there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the last and true prophet. So what's this nonsense about they saying the same thing, just using different terms? And yet that whole religious system is nonsense. Because you read the Quran will tell you that Jesus was a good prophet and that he was born of a virgin, but he's not God. Will somebody please explain to me how you could be born of a virgin and not be God? They don't even say Muhammad was born of a virgin. But yet we listen to him and not Jesus. The Bible says that if anybody denies that Jesus is God, they are antichrist. Islam is antichrist. That's just one example. We can go on and on and on. Let me give you another example. Postmodernism. That's another philosophy. Postmodernism teaches that there are no absolute truths, that all truth is relative, depending on how you see it. Your truth might not be Pastor Brad's truth, who might not be Sister Craft's truth. Everybody has their own truth. Really? Jesus says, I am the truth, because truth is not a concept or an opinion. Truth is a person. His name is Jesus. When I debate atheists and agnostics on this postmodern concept, they tell me there is no such thing, Reverend Kraft. It's absolute, unchanging truths. You know what I say? Is that absolutely true? When I debate them on this issue of tolerance, and they tell me about alternative lifestyles, and I say, well, what about my alternative lifestyle of believing in the straight and narrow way of Jesus? Oh, we can't tolerate that. How is it to pray in school and to read the Bible, and to have the Ten Commandments posted? Something wrong with that. But ain't nothing wrong with telling young kids in school and telling teenagers about perversion. When they call me homophobic, you know what I do? I flip the script on them. I call them heterophobic. We'll be phobic together. But the devil uses persuasive words to back you in a corner. And every devil and every unclean spirit in hell comes out the closet. And who do they tell to go in the closet? You all. No, God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm not going to shut up. God said in the word, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father who is in heaven. I'll give you one more, then I'm going to get off that because I'm almost out of time. More relativism. That says morality is subjective. And different folks have different ways of seeing different issues differently. Fine. But that's the wrong question. The right question should be, are they correct? I can believe that it's all right for a man to marry another man. But from where am I getting that information from? Is it true? I can believe marriage can be between me, my wife, and then add Brad in and say, I want you to be my wife, and she's my wife too. But is it true? Or is marriage is what it always has been? A man and a woman that has children. Not no two men and two women and throw a cat and a dog in for good measure. It's a bunch of nonsense. No such thing as that. Gay marriage. What? That means I can marry my dog. If I open that door up for two men to marry, why not? Why can't I marry my boxer? Don't even make sense. If everybody turned homosexual overnight, when the last one died, the human race would no longer exist. I said, and every homosexual still got to use heterosexual, a woman and a man's uterus and sperm to make a baby. And yet you won't try to tell me that what you believe is right and I'm wrong? Man, you got to be kidding. Man, I wasn't born in a cotton patch. False philosophies and traditions of men. And finally, for in him, last verse, dwells. So we had it. Second point, we lost it. I just explained that to you in verse 8, how we lost it. Through deception and persuasive words and empty deceit and philosophy. I just explained in traditions of men. And finally, last point, now it's time to get it back. We find that in verse 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And here's verse 10. Time to get it back. And you, saints of God, are complete. Complete. Complete in him. Not in the Republican Party. Not in the Democratic Party. Not in the Tea Party. Not in the right-wing ideology. Not in the left-wing ideology. Not in materialism. Not in secular humanism or postmodernism. Not in Marxism, not in socialism, not in capitalism. You are complete in him. Who's him? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? God Almighty. It's time to get it back, y'all. Why? Because he is the head of all principality and power. My closing remarks, my closing shot to you all in here is simply this. Get in the word. You're in a good Bible-believing church. That's how I met this man. That was a secular meeting that we was in, a Tea Party group. And I didn't even know him. He's sitting there. And all these right-wing politicians got up, and they gave their little spiel about why they wanted the Tea Party backing. And I'm sitting there. They saved me for last. And I'm glad they did. And as soon as them politicians got done talking about why they wanted the Tea Party support, they left. I got up there, and I said, and Pastor was sitting there. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. I said, let me tell all of you something. They want your vote. I said, it's not about that. It's not about limited government, and lower taxes, and getting the government off our backs and balancing the budget. All those issues are secondary. I said, the primary issue is morality and righteousness. I said, they want to put the social issues on the back burner. Correction. The issues are not social. They're moral and spiritual. They're issues of sin. When I deal with abortion, it's not a social political issue. It's the issue of what God says. Woe unto those that shed innocent blood. It's murder. When I deal with the issue of homosexuality, it's a political issue. And everybody has the right to their own sexual orientation. I said, God doesn't say that. God says it's an abomination. Just like adultery or fornication or incest or rape. I says, we need to put the cart behind the horse, not in front of it. I says, our economy and government's in a mess because our moral life's in a mess. I said, has it ever occurred to any of us in here that we're in an economic mess and a big government mess because of sin? I said, that's what the Tea Party should be focusing on. But you don't want to offend anybody. You want the big tent philosophy. So you go to CPAC, and they got homosexual conservatives. I told them, folks, what's the difference between a conservative pervert and a liberal pervert? A pervert is a pervert. They believe in homosexuals getting married. You believe in marriage is a man and woman, but yet you're both conservative. So the homosexuals that's on the left wing that believe in big government, something wrong with them. But the conservative homosexuals, they're all right. But both the liberal homosexuals and the conservative homosexuals believe the same thing. We need to get bold and say enough of this nonsense is enough. Either speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, or shut up and get out of Dodge. And I'm glad this thing is going over the air, and especially in New York. Because I pray to God, them folks call me and say, hey, we want to get him over here so we can hang him. I pray to God that this message gets out all over the airwaves in New York City. Because I want to get in folks' face who want to tell me I'm wrong. Because I'm not going to quote what Stevie Kraft thinks. I'm going to quote, thus saith the Lord. So when a false minister who claims to be a Christian, because he's got a cross on this big and a clergy collar, and going to stand up and tell me that God created him gay, and that God loves him just like he is, I'm going to ask him one question. Give me chapter and verse for that. Because when I check, the Bible says God loves us. That's why he died for us. But he didn't die for us to leave us in sin. He died for us to come out of sin. And then he said to the Apostle Paul, and such were some of you. Some of you were fornicators. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were liars. Some of you were homosexuals. But the only reason, with this I close, that I can stand before you today is because I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And I beat my chest and looked up to heaven and said, have mercy. And God said, I'm going to save that old boy because I called him from his mama's womb to preach the gospel.
You've been listening to Reverend Stephen Kraft, and we thank him for this timely, passionate message. You can get in touch with Reverend Kraft at ChristianCitizenshipMinistries.com. Just spell it out, ChristianCitizenshipMinistries.com. Or you can go to our website at GodAndCountryRadio.org, and there you will find a link to his site. Or you can call us at 732-583-9286. Also on our website, under April 3rd, you will see an additional program you can listen to online called The Wisconsin Protest. In this program, I tried to answer from the Bible whether it was right or wrong for the union teachers in Wisconsin to protest for more money and for collective bargaining rights, and to answer what is spiritually going on in that event. Also on our website, you can email us and request an all-new evangelistic CD called Does It Matter What I Believe? You meet so many people who believe that they're safe with God because they believe that God exists. Now, this CD is a resource that you can give out to others to explain to them what a person must do to be saved, what it means to be justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. So go to our website, GodAndCountryRadio.org, or call us at 732-583-9286. That's GodAndCountryRadio.org, 732-583-9286. Thank you for your prayers and your continual financial support. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. Help us to communicate your word to others, and we trust that you will grant to many the gift of faith to believe in it. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.